Many years ago, there was an old man. He'd been blessed in his life and had become incredibly wealthy. There wasn't a thing that he couldn't have that he wanted. There wasn't a place that he couldn't go when he wanted to. He had a beautiful wife. He had servants. He had a huge ranch with thousands of heads of cattle. And he was highly respected and honored in the community where he lived. But there was one thing missing, one thing that he didn't have that he just always anticipated that life would give him. It seemed like a cruel joke, really, because his name meant father, and yet he had no children. Now, many years before this, when he was only 75 years old, God came to him and spoke to him and told him something remarkably strange. He said, "Here's what I want you to do, Dad. I want you to pack up and leave everything and everyone you've ever known, and I want you to go somewhere." "Where do you want me to go, God?" "Well, you start going, and when you get there, I'll let you know." There was a conversation with his wife after that, and you can only imagine what that was like. "Honey, pack up. We're moving." "Oh, really? Where are we moving to?" "I don't know." I think maybe one of the most remarkable parts of this story is that she packed up and went with him. And off they went. "Where are you going?" "I don't know." "How will you know when you get there?" "He said he'd let me know." And they roll it up and they pack it up, and a 75-year-old man and his 75-year-old hot wife started on their journey. Miles they walked, and somewhere along the way, that voice spoke to him again, and he said, "One day, your offspring are going to be more numerous than all of the sand on all of the seashores of all of the earth and of all of the stars in the sky. If you could number the stars in the sky, by the way, stay up tonight and try to count them, and that is how your offspring, the generations who follow you, are going to be. And by the way, every nation on the face of planet Earth is going to be blessed because of you." He turned 80. Now he's an octogenarian. Still no child. But we read that Abram believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the story of Abraham, it's not the kind of perfect faith that I envision. For one thing, when a king wanted his wife in his harem, Abraham let it happen. Yep, he lied and said, "She's my sister." Well, it's kind of true. They were half brother and half sister. Don't make me go into that. They weren't from Kentucky. And when bad things started to happen in that kingdom, the king went to Abram and said, "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife?" And that king made him richer as he sent him on his way. So Abram decided that since I'm getting older and there's no baby and it's not looking good with my wife, maybe I can help God out. See, my nephew, his name is Lot, his father died when he was just a boy, and I took him in. So he is like a son to me. As a matter of fact, genetically, we are that close. But see, when God said, "You are going to have a child, and your seed is going to be blessed," he meant his seed would be blessed, not his brother's. And so it turned out that Lot was not the answer. Then he decided he would help God again, because sometimes God needs some help doing what he is trying to pull off in the earth. And it was his wife's idea. Honey, apparently I don't have it anymore. Apparently I can't get pregnant. But you know, my maidservant, I mean, she belongs to us. She's our slave. So any child she has is ours anyway. So why don't you and her go make a baby? Well, they found out that the problem wasn't Abram. The problem was his wife, because the maidservant had a baby. And after all of this had happened, and all of these years, when he was 99 years old, three strangers walk up to their home. Three strange men that he'd never seen before. And immediately though, because he was a kind man and a man of hospitality, he told his wife, hurry up and make them something to eat. And he said, if you'll wait, she'll prepare something. And each one of them got fresh bread and fresh meat, and he fed them. And before they left, one of them said something, once again, really strange. He says, I'm going to come back here a year from now, and when I do, your wife, 99 years old, she's going to have a baby nursing and holding in her arms. Down deep inside, he didn't let it come out, but he was laughing. He was picturing a 100-year-old woman nursing a baby. And not only did he laugh, but in her tent, Sarah laughed so hard she fell on the floor. She was laughing so hard. And immediately the angel looks at Abram and says, why did you laugh? I'll be back in a year, and you're going to be a father. And Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. He changed his name from dad to father of a multitude. Abram became Abraham. Can you imagine when that baby was born? Can you imagine the birth announcements and the showers that people gave Sarah? Can you imagine how excited they were? And because they had laughed, they named their baby, funny. They named him Laughter. That's what Isaac meant. All those years, all those 25 years, it started when he's 75. 25 years earlier, God had said, leave. And then a little while later, you're going to bless the whole earth through your family. It's going to be incredible. And he held on to that. He tried to help God. It wasn't perfect, but he believed God. And it was credited to him as righteousness. His faith in the promise never wavered. He just didn't know how God was going to pull it off. And here's a baby. And here's Sarah. She is still laughing as she holds a newborn baby to her breast to nurse for the first time. Wow. The baby grew. And he grew. I don't know, when my children were small, I would go into their bed at night and look over them and thank God for them. I remember when my firstborn came into the world, how that I would look at him and just marvel that I had anything to do with that beautiful baby. Do you think maybe this old man would stand there and look at his sleeping baby and say, God, how good you are. How amazing you are. You're a God who keeps his promises. He watched him grow. He couldn't hold him enough. He couldn't hug him enough. He held his hands on his fingers as he taught him to walk when he was just a little over a year old. He heard him say his first word, Abba. He said, Dada, and Mama. And he watched him grow, and he was so proud of this beautiful boy. Every day, his whole life, the sum total of everything he'd ever been or everything he'd ever done or everything he would be was wrapped up in this boy. He watches him grow. The boy's smart. He he learns to read and he learns to write, and he's good with animals, and he's just the perfect son. He can't believe that a 100-year-old man, then a 105-year-old man, then a 110-year-old man, then a 115-year-old man had this beautiful teenage son. All of his life was complete now, until that voice, that old familiar voice, began to speak to him again. And once again, it was a strange thing. Not only leave your home, not only you're going to have a child, but now the voice of the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, take your son, your only son Isaac, who you love, to a place that I will show you, and sacrifice him there to me. We don't read of the stress that Abraham was immediately under. We don't read of him ever asking a question of God, like, God, are you sure? Am I hearing you right? But after 115 years, he knew when it was the Lord. And he knew that you don't always understand God, but when you obey God, that's the only way to live. And so he said, I'll go. He gets up early in the morning, I imagine to avoid Sarah. He gets up early in the morning, it says he saddles his donkey and he goes out and chops up the wood, because to sacrifice to God, you first had to kill the animal, drain its blood from its carotid artery and jugular vein, and then you quartered it, and then once dead and quartered, you laid it on the fire and burned it to ashes. And Abram saddled his donkey, and he went out with a machete or an axe, and he chopped up the wood for the sacrifice. And he goes into Isaac's bed, and he shakes his shoulder so gently. He says, son, wake up. We're going on a trip. Father? Yes, wake up. We'll be back soon. We're just going to go and worship the Lord, he said. We're going to go worship. Strange thing to say, worship. But Abram, he was Abraham now. He was finally father and going to be father of a multitude. And so he puts the boy and the wood up on the donkey, and they begin to walk with two of his servants. Is this it, God? No. Is that the mountain, Lord? No. And finally the Lord says, this is it. Abraham, I can imagine how slowly he stopped. He had the clay smudge pot with the hot coals in it for the fire. And he couldn't carry that because he was 115 years old and walking up a mountain for the Lord's sake. And he put the wood on top of Isaac's shoulders, and Isaac, his 15-year-old, the answer to his prayers and a hope, is carrying the wood, and up they go. And he says to his servants, we'll be back in a little while. We're going up to worship. And he trudges up the rocky mountain and the steep incline. And they go back and forth to try to lessen the incline. And finally they reach the summit. And while they were going, Isaac had a question. You see, he had worshiped with his father before. He knew how it was done. He knew about the killing of the animal and about the quartering, and but he knew that something was missing. Isaac said, Father, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, but where's the ram for the offering? And Abraham looked down at Isaac and he said, don't worry, son, the Lord will provide a ram. Up they go. They begin to gather stones. Isaac is gathering stones, and they pile them up. You see, all his life, Abraham had built altars Everywhere he went, every encounter with God, he would build an altar. When God spoke to him, when God would renew the promise, when God would help him to win a victory over enemies, every time he was a man that worshiped over and over and over. And the old man was building maybe his last altar. Isaac was helping him, and Isaac is still looking for the ram. I think this is the most remarkable part of the story as they take the wood and put it on the stones. And then Abram looks at Isaac. He looks him in the eye. And he takes him by the shoulders and he gently guides him over and lay down here for a minute. Son, if I were 15 and my dad were 115, I would have beat feet and gotten out of there. But it says that Abraham bound Isaac, his ankles and his wrists together. And he laid him there, and he reached for the knife he'd used for so many sacrifices and so many worship services. And he takes the knife, and I just believe that tears were filling his beard and dripping down on his chest. But this is what God wanted. And he took the knife, and as he's ready to kill the promise, the voice of the Lord booms from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham, don't you lay a hand on that boy, for now I know that you would not withhold your only son from me and that you fear me above all else." And there was another father who only had one son. And he watched him grow in the will and the favor of God, in stature and in strength. He watched him as he became a man and as he began to lead and began to do all that the Father wanted him to do. And there came the time that he had to climb the hill, and he carried the wood to the top. And there he laid down on the wood. And there was no booming voice to say stop this time, because the Father of all was offering his only son so that you and I could be set free from all of the filth and the ugliness and the sin of this world. And the only way that could be accomplished was through the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Where is the ram? And they heard a rustling in the bushes, and he looked, and there was a ram, but there was no other ram. It was only the Lamb. For you and for me. On this Father's Day, I would that there would be some Abrahams in this hour that we're living who would say that no matter what it costs me, I will follow the will of God in my life. I will love God so much that my children and my grandchildren will have no doubt in their minds that Jesus comes first. And when they know this, when they grow old, they'll never be able to get out of their heads and their hearts that I, their Father, love them so much that I love Jesus more. Because if you love Jesus more, you'll be able to love your children more. If you love Jesus more, you'll be able to love your husband more and your wife more. And your life will be complete and you will know abundant life because of the one who carried the wood, who laid down his life, and who was not spared, but who died for you and for me. Fathers, it's time This is the day where the darkness surrounds us and evil, we don't even have to name it, we know it's there. But our God has overcome all of that. And if Abraham could do it hundreds of years before Jesus was born, how much more can we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit and our faith in Christ? We need men to be men. We need fathers to be fathers. And we need to exemplify. Oh, I didn't want this to be an you ought to and I ought to. It's just absolutely mandated. We have to be the men that God has called us to be. And it's time. It is time. It is time. His name was Al. He was an old dude. He didn't want anything to do with God. And his wife would come. His wife would come to our church, and she would come alone, and every prayer meeting we had, pray for Al. I'm just praying that he'll come to the Lord. And it was an incredible thing. I was speaking at a church in Cincinnati, and there Al and his wife came in, and there they sat, and I couldn't believe it that he was even there. And I preached, and I gave an invitation. I don't know if anybody came forward that night, and I went home, and lo and behold, if late at night, I used to stay up past 8 o'clock. Those were the good old days. And late at night, about 10 or 10:30, the phone rang. And who in the world, if you're a pastor and the phone rings at 10:30, it's never good. And I picked it up, and it was Al. It was old Al that had never, he didn't want anything to do with God. And for some reason, he'd come to that service. I didn't even preach a salvation message. I don't remember what I preached, but I know I wasn't talking about anybody giving their heart to Christ. And he called me to say, Pastor, my wife told me I have to call you. And Gene said, I have to tell you that when I got home tonight, I couldn't go to sleep until I made Jesus my Lord. And it was just, I've got a Bible he gave me in my office right now. And the most amazing thing was that shortly after that, it was Thanksgiving, and Jean told me, do you know what happened this year at Thanksgiving? She said, Al led in prayer, and he told our grown children, see, it's never too late to be an Abraham. He told our grown children about how that Jesus had come into his heart and changed his life. And then he led in prayer of thanksgiving and blessing before we ate our turkey and dressing. So what I'm saying is, wherever you are in this thing, whatever you've been doing, you can be an Abraham today. God is calling men all over this planet, all over the world, former Muslims, former atheists, people who had no connection with the God and the Father of Jesus Christ in their lives, and they are coming to him. Church, it's time to quit sitting in church. It's time to stand up and be the men that God's called you to be. It's time to stand up, and sometimes you got to tell your children no. There is a shortage of that nowadays. And sometimes you have to tell them, sorry, kids, but God comes first. And we're going to take care of business with the Lord first. And then if there's enough, you'll get your bicycle or your iPad or your cell phone. Because Jesus comes first in this house. Oh, yeah. I'm thankful my father was an Abraham. And when he died, I realized, now it's me. Now I'm the grandpa. Now I'm the father. Now, I'm the patriarch. It's a frightening thing to realize when you don't have your father to look to. But, oh, I want to thank the Lord that through the power of the Holy Spirit, I can be the Abraham he wants me to be, and so can you. And so, yeah, we're going to give you a prize, dads, and we're going to say thank you. And, Tim, your first Father's Day. Hallelujah. God heard your prayers. What I'm going to ask you to do, men, is if you're willing to stand like Abraham stood, if you're willing to lay your children on the altar, because we learn in Hebrews that Abraham, way back then, believed in the resurrection. He knew if I kill him, God will raise him back up. because he promised him to me. See, no matter how bad it is now, there's a resurrection day coming. And God will keep his promises to you. And if you're willing to be the man that God called you to be, and the Father, say, I don't know what all that means. I don't either. But when you get there, he will let you know. But if you're willing to stand up today and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Help me to be the man that you want me to be. I want all, you know what I want you to do. I want you to stand to your feet. Every man in here that says, I will be the man that God is calling me to be. I will go. I will do. I will try. I will live it before my children. My children will hear me pray. My children will hear me guide them in the things I understand about the scripture. I will stand as he wants me to stand. And I want to tell you something. The Apostle Paul said, we have many fathers. When my dad died, there was no other father in my life. But since then, I've realized the older I get, I'm usually the dad in the room. But what I want to do is say, I am thankful for a father I have in this church. Lloyd, would you stand up with me?
God bless you.
God bless you. You can be somebody's father. Lot's father died. Abraham said, come on, boy. You can take somebody in. You can be a father to the fatherless. You can give hope to the hopeless. But you got to be like Abraham and just believe God. Where are we going, Lord? I don't know. How am I going to have a baby? I don't know. How am I going to do that? I don't know. But you just step it one day at a time. And when you get there, he'll say, there you are. Hallelujah.